No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis and Captain Keith. We kind of have a rotating crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information because everybody is on location. Dennis is in his home base of Minnesota. I'm at headquarters in Orlando. But Keith is on site at an undisclosed location at an airport in the Midwest. We can't really say where because then we'd have to kill you. Is that what's going on, Keith, or what?
Exactly.
Right.
It's a very secret mission, top secret.
Right. So that's all we can say. He's waiting to catch a flight, a commercial flight. We'll get into that in just a bit. But he's going to tap out about halfway through, board his flight, and then Ed is scheduled to replace him. So we have kind of like a moving crew today on Just Plane Radio. So deal with it accordingly. And you've been warned. I guess we'll leave it at that. But look, a lot has happened since last week's broadcast. Of course, we had the Super Bowl. And Keith doesn't go to movies, but did you at least see the Super Bowl, Keith?
I did not.
You did not see the Super Bowl? Oh, my gosh.
I did not turn it on.
Well, you missed a doozy. I mean, it was, as far as, like, you know, it was tough to stay awake in some portions. But, you know, it was a fun game to watch. But the halftime show had a little aviation kick to it. Did it not, Dennis? What do you think?
It did. Intel's drones were at it again.
Yes.
I guess they actually have, they call it drone dancing now, so there's officially a term for it.
Right.
And it's probably the only dancing that I could do.
So, at the halftime show, Maroon 5 did their thing. And whether you're a fan of Maroon 5 or not, you know, that's to each his own. But they had drones in the background. It actually was kind of cool what they did. And it was way more impressive than when Adam Levine took his shirt off. That's just me. I mean, Keith, you really missed an eyeful there, buddy. Makes you kind of kick yourself for missing it, I guess, right?
Well, I'm going to live vicariously through your eyes then, I guess, since you got to see it.
Yeah, and I can't unsee it as far as the Adam Levine thing. But the drone stuff in the background was kind of cool. I mean, you know, at first they made it look like these luminaries coming off of the field, you know, those little, you know, isn't that what they're called, right?
Those little lanterns, yeah, yeah, those little flying little lanterns, you know, with the candles in them.
And
yeah,
before they let them go from the field, and matter of fact, I'm not even sure if they did, all of a sudden you see these things floating off in the background, and it was actually drones. I knew that was what was going on. I was like, that isn't those lanterns. They're moving up too quickly. And sure enough, they're going up behind the band, and you're seeing these lanterns in the sky of the Super Bowl and stuff, and then they form a word, and I'm like, oh, my God, there we go. And that was kind of cool. I mean, I thought that was an impressive display of drone magic. In a positive light, would you agree?
Yeah, it was you know, certainly better than the people that were not smart and didn't read the NOTAMs and had their drones confiscated in the days leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yes,
I think they confiscated six private drones. You know, not even on Super Bowl Sunday, but just on the days leading up.
Yeah. So, you know,
just don't get it.
Leave it to the crew at Just Plane Radio to zero in on the drone usage of the Super Bowl as opposed to the game. But hey, at least Dennis and I saw it, and we were able to share it and discuss it accordingly. And now you know, Keith, do you feel more complete as a human being and aviator now?
Sure.
Okay. That was the best reaction I was hoping for. So we'll just leave it at that. All right. So Keith is out and about in an airport. We can't say where, but you're kind of stuck until flying a little bit later on. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Okay. So you're not flying private. You got there flying private, but you're flying back commercial on a Southwest flight. We can say that much. And I know you're looking forward to getting back to the warmer weather. That's all we can say about his location. He's like the Great White North or Midwest, where it's freezing cold. Like Dennis, they're spiritual brothers today. But there is some news about Southwest that, I don't know, maybe you can have them divert your flight to Hawaii. Would you rather go to Hawaii or come home?
Well, I personally, I would rather go home. But, you know, I know there's many people that would rather go to Hawaii.
Yes. But I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! That would be me. Yeah. So, what is the story exactly, Dennis? What are they doing?
Well, you know, Southwest has not done any overwater routes. They have been, you know, strictly a domestic carrier, you know, and flying over land. But what they are doing is expanding their route, and they're going to be servicing Hawaii using a 737, which is only a twin-engine airplane. And they're going to be going, you know, for an extended period of time over open water without an airport nearby. So part of their certification, they have to prove that the aircraft is capable of what they call ETOPS, or engine extended twin engine over water operations. And so they're going to have to do a series of like 8 proving flights to the FAA to show that the aircraft, the crew, everything's equipped and trained, that they can fly more than 90 minutes from a diversion airport.
So, okay. So yeah. When they're flying from Florida over to San Juan, it doesn't count because it's not that far, or what?
Yeah, it's not a long enough flight. I mean, they can easily divert to multiple runways all within, you know, probably less than 90 minutes. So for these extended routes where they're going to be flying, I think it's probably 4 hours or more from the time they leave the West Coast till they get to Hawaii. It's at least 4 hours over open water. They have to be able to prove that the aircraft and the crew are capable of you know, running the airplane when they can't divert like that.
Okay, how do they do that, Keith? What do you think? What is the typical training involved with something like that? Is it training or equipment?
Well, it's equipment, really. You know, it used to be that the aircraft that were doing these longer routes were all four-engine airplanes, or certainly more than two, so either three or four-engine aircraft. And years ago, it was not uncommon for a four-engine aircraft to show up with only three of its engines operating.
Hmm.
And so that's why they came up with this here, because typically you have to have an emergency landing point at least within 60 minutes of your when you lose that engine. We always have to have on takeoff, we always have to have a takeoff alternate if the weather is too low. That has to be within 60 minutes of single engine airspeed. And so when you start going over water where there is nothing, you have to increase the time. And so that's where the history of this came from. And so now they're, as the reliability of the jet engines increases, they're able to increase the time. They've gone from 60 to 120 to 180 is pretty common.
Yeah.
And now they are starting to, under certain circumstances, give up to 240 minutes of time that they can go if the crew can do it and if the aircraft is capable of it.
All right, so
the 737 is a very capable aircraft.
Okay, so if it loses one of its two engines, can it not maintain altitude in one of those?
It can.
And
that's,
so what's
and,
the
and
problem?
That's what that's what they have to prove. They have to prove that the aircraft will be able to continue its operation and continue on. And you either have to turn back or you've got to continue on if you're in an extended over water operation.
But the advantage to having the two engine airplanes, they're just more efficient, I guess, and fuel efficient. Is that kind of why they want to do that?
Sure. Certainly a two engine aircraft is much more fuel efficient than a four engine.
Yeah.
Which is why the 747, you know, an iconic aircraft, is kind of being, you know, phased out a little bit, because the newer aircraft can carry just as many people with only two engines, and those two engines are more efficient than what the four engines are.
Yeah.
So in Southwest case too, they have standardized their entire airline on only one airframe. They only fly the 737, which is why they haven't been able to do Hawaii in the past. So now with the new generation 737s, they're able to get, you know, the ETOPS certification to allow them to now expand out into some of these overwater locations that they couldn't previously serve with their airplanes.
How soon do they expect to get that certified, you know, thing going, you figure?
Well, from the article I read, said about, you know, probably 8 validation flights with the FAA, and then they can start to add it to their route schedule.
So within the next year, hopefully. Maybe.
It shouldn't even take that long.
Yeah. It just depends on who they pay off, that kind of thing.
No,
I kid.
It's more or less whether or not the government's working or not.
Okay, that might help too. Right.
But yeah, you know, so. as a passenger and as a a vacation seeker, I like the idea of Southwest going there because that should put some pressure on the airfares to keep them low.
I would agree, but would you feel safer knowing that the airplane you're on has four engines as opposed to two?
Not at all. I took an Airbus 330 over, and that's only got two engines.
Okay. All right. So the consensus is pretty good. So we'll leave it at that.
We've been doing this for years, especially Boeing has been doing this for years with multiple versions of two-engine aircraft. So it's not a big deal.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Let's go to Hawaii.
Yay.
And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Where are we? Are we in L.A.?
No, we're in North Dakota. And only those passengers deemed fit to fly will go on to Los Angeles. You're not one of them.
Wanna fly, fly, fly. Can I vibe, vibe, vibe on it? Five, 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 five on it. Get live, yeah.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis. Yeah, and Captain Keith. I'm pulling that right from Captain Keith's playlist there, Post Malone. Big fan, aren't you, Keith?
Admit. Yes, I am.
Yeah. He is hip to the kids' jive, no doubt about it. All right, so other stuff in the aviation news and information that we like to cover here on Just Plane Radio, there has been some hiccups and GPS. Where's this happening exactly, Keith? Like just off the coast of Georgia or something? Or where?
Well, it's actually notamed out or had been noted out this week for the whole southeastern United States.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on is the military is doing some training exercises in GPS jamming.
Whoa.
And so the notams are that, you know, GPS outages may be intermittent. And so you might have navigational outages, ATC. It also affects the ADS-B. So ATC may lose track of airplanes that have ADS-B currently installed. and giving that information to ATC. So a number of different things that could happen, but it's throughout the whole southeastern United States.
Well, that can't be good. I mean, I didn't realize it was that broad. I thought it was just around, you know, the Georgia area or off the coast there, you know, just off the coast of, you know, around the Atlantic and stuff. But it's all the way down here. So if we're doing training at flight training professionals in Orlando and all of a sudden our GPS goes out or the tower can't track us, what the heck? Could
that
happen?
That's exactly right. And it also extends out into the Caribbean as well.
Wow.
So and, this happened last summer up in Alaska as well. They did it up in Alaska, and they had a couple of little issues up there as well.
Well, so I would bet. But
it is something that the AOPA is on top of. AOPA has been trying to force the FAA to look into this a little bit more in depth and to look at some of the instances of what happens when this phenomenon takes place, because this is what we're moving to. We're getting rid of the VOR to VOR navigation, going all GPS, along with the ADS-B is going to get even more direct stuff. And so if this type of thing begins to happen, what happens? So there was a Phenom 300 that in times past had the AHAR systems were not getting the same information. Autopilot was on, the airplane went into something similar to an emergency descent, and it took a while for the pilots to be able to control that. Well, that can actually be a very difficult thing for ATC to deal with, not knowing exactly what's going on. Pilots don't know what's going on. You now have airplanes that are descending. You may have airplanes that go off track from their course because their GPS thinks they're getting this signal and thinks they're tracking it, but they're really a couple of miles off track. So it can be a very dangerous thing.
Well, yeah. Hello. I mean, I'm just thinking about it from my perspective, as I always do. And if I was up there, you know, just working the pattern and all of a sudden the GPS went out or something, I don't think that would be a very a good feeling. God forbid you're on a solo and you're flying around doing some training and lost your backup. Because, of course, when you're in training, I would know how to do my VOR stuff because you guys teach me and make me do it anyway. And I could fall back on it a little bit. But still, I think you might have to – I might have to replace my pants after that if it was an extended period of time of where I'm not sure what my instruments are doing on the GPS side of things and towers going, hey, we can't see you. Where the hell are you, Greg? I'm like, I don't know.
Well, this is one reason why, you know, we continue to teach in our primary training the old style navigation, going back to the chart and doing pilotage and dead reckoning instead of just constantly using the GPS and using tools like ForeFlight, which are very, very handy to use and keeps the cockpit organized and all those kinds of things. But if you lose all that other stuff, going back to that, knowing how to do that is paramount.
Yeah. Well, your backup plan for sure. And you got to keep fresh on it. You know, a new pilot would be better equipped than somebody's a little bit more seasoned and has kind of, I don't know, a little out of practice of using charts and doing dead reckoning and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. What do you think exactly the military's doing? Are they using this as like a weapon kind of thing, you think, where they're trying to, you know, work up these jamming things for GPS so when they get out there and they get into a situation they can jam the GPS and keep other people from flying around them, you think? Or do we know? Or that way, well, I'm just guessing, but of course there could be some people that show up at our doors if I give out too much information, I'm guessing. Dennis, what do you think?
Well, you know, they are trying to, you know, suppress GPS because we use it for navigation, but also so do the tanks. The soldiers trying to figure out where they are and to aim things. So they want to make sure that even the soldiers are able to put bombs on targets if GPS isn't working. Because the first thing an enemy is going to do is try to jam the GPS signal so that the Air Force can't navigate directly to their intended targets.
Hmm. So you think it's the enemy that's going to jam it? As opposed
potentially
to military.
Okay. We could use it offensively, but they could also use it defensively.
Right.
And, you know, and it is a problem because here we are relying now on this for our own navigation, but also for air traffic control, for separation, for aircraft identification. We're getting rid of primary radar and relying on ADS-B to provide air traffic control of their position. And, you know, the FAA is going to have to seriously look at these types of disruptions and, you know, make sure that they've got contingency plans to make sure that aircraft are staying separated.
What about you, Keith? Do you know any more to this? Do you think that's how they're looking at it, as like a, you know, simulation of if the enemy was jamming our GPS, we'd still know what to do? You think that's what they're doing?
Yes, I think that's exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting. So, there's the AOPA is trying to keep a handle on this to what? Limit the military to doing this or so they don't disrupt operations too much? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know if they can limit it, but they certainly need to communicate what they're doing and when so that, you know, as pilots, we can check our NOTAMs and actually know that this is happening instead of getting caught off guard.
Yeah. I mean, the entire Southeast,
check your NOTAMs, kids.
Or Caribbean yeah. is kind of a big swath of area that it'd be nicer if they could kind of, you know, limit it a little bit tighter than that. But right now, they're doing what they got to do, and we just got to deal with it. How long is this supposed to happen? Just this week? Hopefully it'll be done, or do we know?
Through February 10th.
Okay. All right, so we'll have to...
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it is out there right now in the NOTAMs. However, they need to make it a little bit more effective, more out there for everybody to really know and understand what is going on. And that's what the AOPA is really pushing for. And for the FAA to really look at it and go, okay, what are some of the instances that have happened, the incidents and... Fortunately, there's not been any accidents, but there's certainly been a number of incidents that have happened because of GPS outages. Let's mitigate those risks and figure out how do we control it.
That's right. Another bonus of listening to Just Plane Radio, because you are now an aviator in the know. And we got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis. Now, Keith is gonna tap out here in just a bit and rotate out with Ed. So you've been warned, plan accordingly, and we apologize in advance. Yeah, usually that's for me, but I can say that because Ed's not with us yet, and I don't think he's listening. These NOTAMs, as far as this GPS outage thing that the military is conducting training things that could wreak havoc a little bit on your flying, is just something you need to be aware of. It's not real common as far as people flying around right now. Is that right, Keith? I mean,
correct.
Yeah, just something you need to be aware of, and you would know this if you've been reading and staying up with your NOTAMs, as any good aviator does. But you know, not everybody does this as effectively as they should, and that is, you know, that's one thing about the NOTAMs, that you're supposed to be up on those. But the FAA could probably be a little bit better at getting the word out there. And that's kind of what you were saying. AOPA is pushing them on as far as promoting this and letting people more, you know that it's out there and how to deal with it. Is that right, Keith?
Yes. Getting the NOTAMs out there in a more efficient manner, and really all NOTAMs, really. But especially this type of NOTAM, so that people know and understand, get the NOTAM for the area that they're flying into or out of so that they're aware of it. Instead of having to just get it along with NOTAMs for the whole country when you're only headed to a very specific point.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I get all the NOTAMs when the president goes down to West Palm Beach, but I think that's coming from the flight school on my email. So, but that's just one, you know, added promotion that the flight school does. Maybe FAA could do a little bit more of that type of thing. Would that help, Dennis, you think?
Yeah, it would. I mean, the NOTAM system, the NTSB has actually commented that the NOTAM system is messed up, and actually the administrator actually referred to it as garbage.
Oh.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's just a bucket list of stuff just dumped out there. Whether it's relevant to you or not, you have to wade through it as a pilot.
Okay. And, you know, if the head guy who uses them is calling it garbage, that can't be a good thing. Maybe time for a new system. I guess we'll just leave that lie right there.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Why are you going to the airport? Flying somewhere?
How'd you guess?
Well, I saw your luggage. And when I noticed the airline ticket, I put two and two together.
Yeah, big old jet airliner. Don't carry me too far away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. And Keith is tapped out, and Captain Ed has jumped in the ring with us and is going to finish out the show here as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Ed, are you ready?
No.
Oh, okay.
I come prepared.
Are you excited?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Always.
All right. Well, we'll
but
take
prepared,
that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, are you?
Always.
Never. Come on.
Okay. So, you are as prepared as I. So
there. Okay.
You make a valid member of the crew.
Okay.
So, you know, we've been talking about this military interference thing with GPS.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything you want to add on that mix? Is it affecting any of the training there at the school with
Not
you
yet,
guys?
But you never know.
Just making everybody aware of it kind of deal? You just got to keep them alert, but nobody has said, hey, my GPS ain't working.
Nope.
That hadn't happened.
Not yet.
Do you think you think it will?
You know, they do these type of things all the time. I don't know why this one's becoming such a big deal.
Yeah.
You well, it's a because bigger... it's affecting such a big area.
Right.
I mean, it's all the way from the west side of Alabama, north to West Virginia, and all the way down south to Miami. That's a pretty good swath of airspace.
What do you think?
Well, yeah, it's a big swath of airspace, but it's not the first time they've done that type of stuff too.
Well, when they've announced these NOTAMs before of this potential interference, have you ever had a situation where it actually happened?
Once.
And what happened?
It just didn't get enough signals for rain, and thus we couldn't do any approaches with it. We still had en route navigation.
Yeah, so it was really.
But if the weather was bad, though, and you were running into a problem like that, I found out that there is actually a safe word you can use with ATC now. You can just basically tell them, "Hey, stop buzzer," and that's a term that they understand, and they can try to negotiate with the military people to get them to knock off the testing. So,
mm-hmm.
Now, do they actually call it a safe word? That's the
well. I thought it was funny the person's article I was reading about, you know, had called it a safe word, but I guess you could actually use it like that. But apparently, stop buzzer is a term that they understand.
Stop buzzer.
Now you can't use that one with your wife. You know, if you need a safe word.
Yeah. Actually, I probably don't. more like save me word. But that's a whole nother issue that we probably shouldn't navigate into.
Probably.
Yeah. But there you go. I don't know. Hope maybe it's much to do about nothing. But maybe next week we'll start hearing the stories. Like, hey, I was flying. All
I got
of a sudden
lost.
Yeah, what the hell? But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I will attest that they don't even have to have a GPS outage for some people to get lost if their iPad doesn't work. So I'm seeing a lot of that now as a pilot examiner that they can't even explain their cross-country planning because it's all done behind the glass.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you tell them? Sorry, Charlie, you're going to go back to flight school.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we need to go back to basics. Maybe you need to show up for your private pilot license in a Cessna 150 with a single VOR. And, you know, once you do that, then you can go and prove that you can play with the big toys.
Well, once again, isn't this what the military is doing this test for anyway? They're simulating a situation where
terrorists they went out. Well, they're trying to see if they can jam it, so, or and how to jam it, and then probably a way to prevent it from being jammed.
Or a way to work around the interference so that their stuff still can deliver their bombs on target.
Exactly.
We don't know exactly, because then they'd have to kill us.
They'd have to kill us.
Stop buzzer. Stop buzzer. Stop buzzer.
All right. But no, back to what Dennis was saying, the FAA would have to roll it back, because it's straight there in the ACS that they can do it that way. But the training in Oak City that I received was, yes, we have no problem with them using an iPad to plan their entire flight, including the nav log. You know, you just have to find out, you know, for example, you know, when they plug in the fuel burn, was it accurate? Did they calculate it correctly? So they still got to go back to the book and show you how they calculated the fuel burn that they entered into the four-flight program, or when it comes to mag course versus true course. Do they understand the difference? Do they understand that four-flight is mag course, not true course? And so you still have to question them about true course and what it is and how they would get at it. And believe it or not, you can throw a plotter right on the screen of four-flight and measure true course.
I have a solution.
What?
You have two iPads. So when the first one fails, you just go to the second one.
That's what my phone's for. That's
yeah.
Exactly.
Right, but that won't count on the examination.
It does.
For my instrument check ride. That's exactly what my examiner said. Nope, you can do your check ride with no paper charts. Use your iPad for primary. And I'm fine with you having either ForeFlight or another app on your phone as a backup, as long as you have some backup in case the technology fails.
Well, you misunderstand me, because what I'm saying is if your first iPad fails, and then he asks you a question, like, can you calculate your fuel burn without your iPad? Well, yeah, because it just so happens I have a second iPad right here, and I'll do it on this one. That won't work.
No. See, he wants to know that you understand where the numbers come from. That was one of the things I showed my examiner during my commercial check ride. I use a program to calculate my takeoff distances, and the numbers don't match. If you go into the owner's manual, it says that I could have taken off, you know, almost 500 feet shorter. And I explained that to him. I said, one, trying to read this chart, you need a magnifying glass because the grid's so small. And I think that it's too conservative. It's for a test pilot on a perfect day. Mm-hmm. These numbers that this application has got a lot more wiggle room in it, and I think would be more realistic of my skills as a pilot. And he loved that answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, solve the problem. You know, as long as you can show him how you got the numbers, they don't mind that you mechanically can generate them.
Well, and it's not even an issue of mind. They can't say anything about it.
Because it's allowed.
When they moved to the ACS, they put in there that electronic devices such as that can be used entirely for the flight test, and an examiner telling you, nope, you got to bring paper charts. Can't do that anymore. And if he does, then the FAA will have a problem with him because he's not following the ACS.
Right. But he could still tell you how to calculate the fuel burn. He can still throw that question at you. And if I pull out a second or third iPad, I ain't going to pass.
No, because, your POH might be on your iPad, so you can go calculate it on the chart in the POH.
POH or POS?
POH.
Okay, just checking. All right, Well, we'll cross that. We'll cross that path when we get there. I guess it may take a while.
If he ever gets there,
I will someday. So
hey, it's cold enough up here that hell's about to freeze over. So.
Okay, well, may have.
You're narrowing in on having no more excuses.
No, there's always more excuses. But yeah, hell has pretty much frozen over in Minnesota where Dennis is. He's broadcasting from his igloo.
His igloo.
Yeah, up there. He's definitely frozen in. But look, we do have some other little tidbits that we got to throw out there today, including some of the issues women have to deal with as pilots. We're going to get into that in just a bit. But first, we got to give a shout out to our buddy Jim and Deb, because you got a picture of his. He's building. Well, they're building an RV.
It's a van's RV.
RV 7, I think.
I believe it is a 7.
It's a side by side, so I think it's a 7.
So Dennis just got an update from him that they're getting close to getting that plane complete. Finally, after 3 years, they've been working on this thing.
Yeah,
and they hope to have it ready for AirVenture.
Cool.
This year, and I saw the pictures Dennis sent me.
How are they going to tow the RV with it?
Yeah, you are a funny guy. So, you know, the thing is that I didn't realize they were that far along. I mean, he's been updating us and that kind of thing, but the pictures are pretty impressive. There's even some paint stuff they got done. They got the whole panel done now, and that's great. But the paint scheme that he showed a picture of it that Dennis forwarded to me is very impressive and creative, as you would expect from those two.
Yeah, and perfectly represents their personalities.
So true.
Yes, it does.
So they're playing with their VIN number, right?
No, their N number.
Their N number,
VIN number.
I'm thinking cars. Their N number.
You're killing me, Smalls.
But you see this picture. We can't get into too much graphic detail because we don't want to offend our lawyers.
Yeah, it's not completely family friendly.
Maybe
but
not.
But it is
very
it is
entertaining.
Very them.
Very creative.
Yes.
And playing with the end number a little bit. And I didn't know you could do it. It's almost like a vanity end number.
Yeah.
We can do this. So I got to come up with, maybe that's what I need is my excuse to learn how to fly.
You have to buy an airplane first.
Oh, well, that's that.
I'm not changing my end number to Gulf Hotel. No, thank you.
What?
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now, for high altitude jumps, you're going to need oxygen and stabilizers. Well, I must say, compared to your usual requests, jumping out of an airplane is pretty straightforward.
And what about getting back into the plane?
I'd recommend a good travel agent.
Without it landing.
Now that's more like it, Mr. Wayne.
Oh, I want to get away. I want to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis and Ed, rounding out the crew today. All right, so there's a story about women in aviation, and it kind of fits well this week. You know, we had the State of the Union address earlier in the week, and there was that whole era, you know, period when all the ladies that got voted into Congress stand up and applauded, and you know, it's a big deal because there's more women in Congress than there's ever been before. God bless them for it. And that's all good, you know, right? Yep. But they may not be getting all the respect they deserve in the aviation world. At least there's this one lady pilot has pointed that out. Is that right, Dennis? What's going on?
Yeah, it was a blog post over on the AOPA's website that I ran across. And it's this young lady is a pilot up in Alaska flying, you know, float planes and, you know, into the bush. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she doesn't get a lot of respect from passengers, from other pilots. And, you know, I just find this hard to believe that in this day and age, why can't a woman be treated as an equal as a pilot? I mean, we all know there's only one person around that's not going to ever be a pilot. And, well, you're on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your support. But so what are you trying to say? That I'm a woman or what?
No, you're just you, and you're the only person that will never learn how to fly.
Okay.
So with that being said, you know, why is it so hard to believe that you know, a woman can't be flying a turbine otter, you know, and hauling passengers off onto glaciers and flying ski planes and things like that?
Well, I think we have seen that they can. Yeah. And I think the trick to it, like if I took any of the stuff that you guys said to me about that seriously, I would be curled up in the fetal position. But I don't. I laugh it off.
Yeah, no, he's not. And, but I'm sure as soon as I leave, he will be.
Exactly.
He'll get out the bottle of rum to medicate himself and feel
crying
better.
My beer.
Yeah, I noticed the bottle of rum is a little lighter this week than it was last week.
Yeah, it's tequila.
Drunken Santa's around again.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we have a few of those. Yeah, but you know, it is, you know, you got to laugh it off. But I think just as time goes on, more and more, you know, people will get more hip to the situation. But I've seen that where the pilot in charge was a female and she was flying the airplane. And first glance, people might have thought she was one of the attendants or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is that the proper thing to call them attendants? Yeah, not stewardesses. Right.
Yeah, that would be wrong.
Okay. See, yeah, I don't even
that
remember.
Would be wrong, Greg.
But
they are there for your safety, not your service.
Okay. True. And but the thing is, I mean, you just laugh it off, and when someone makes that mistake, and you know, I don't know. I think we can't take ourselves too seriously. And in the blog post, lady, she kind of did this little tongue in cheek as well, didn't she? She was just
she
going.
Did. You know, but it's just kind of embarrassing to me as a fellow pilot that, you know, somebody else would treat her like that. You know, hey, are there any pilots around as she's refueling her airplane? You know, really?
Like, hello. And yep. But then once they realize she is, then they go, dopey me. You know,
maybe
they,
I shouldn't have made that comment.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because my life's in her hands.
Like, whoops. And then you sound like an old fart kind of, you know. Like, oh, geez, I sound like my dad right now.
We you know. Did have a situation like this in the office.
You did? Well, you have some capable female aviators.
We do, and one of our female aviators had this happen to her, and a gentleman comes in, and he's talking about, you know, flying and learning to fly. He was an older gentleman.
Right.
Was asking all these kind of questions. And I was in the next room hearing what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was doing a very good job talking to him. And mid-sentence, this guy stops and says, honey, why don't you wear any lipstick?
What?
Yeah. You're awful. You, a pretty girl like you should be wearing lipstick.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So that was the joke for like 3 weeks. Oh, better get my lipstick on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to hear how that story ended, though.
Well, he left his card, and he was a member of some militia.
Militia?
Some militia. And she's like, what's a militia? I'm like, yeah, no, we may not call him back.
Interesting. Okay. So she took it well, though. She laughed it off.
She laughed
and then
it
ended up being a gag.
She laughed it off, yeah. And it was a joke around the office for a while.
Yeah. So and this pilot you're talking about, what was his name?
Oh, I don't have
No, it wasn't a, it was a lady. I'm just saying.
Oh. No, the pilot.
I see, because, you know, very.
It was Keith, actually.
That's what I was going to. That's where I was going. I was thinking this was probably Keith. He's just.
It was Maggie.
Next time Keith comes in, I'm going to ask him, where's your lipstick? And see how he responds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's really, it's not your color. It's not really flattering the cheekbones there, dude. Come on. But hey, to each his own.
You can see it with the beard now.
But that's true. He has gone for that, like, Grizzly Adams look.
He is.
Or Last Man on Earth. The caveman from the Geico commercials. I don't know. Hey, well, what's the deal? Is it like mustache month or something? Or what's he doing?
No, that was Movember.
So. Yeah, that's right.
No, when he got sick back in the fall, he didn't shave. He and Leanne both agreed to let it grow and see what it looks like. And,
right.
You know, so.
And now he's like, hey, I kind of look like a homeless person. I think I'm going to stick with this look.
Well, he is trailer trash.
See, this is what we can do when he's stuck in an airport in the Midwest.
No, he did tap out and brought you in.
You know.
He asked for it.
If he I'm not doing anything different than if he wasn't sitting right next to me.
So true. All right. I think we just proved that we need more female influence on Just Plane Radio and the aviation world in general.
Yes, yeah,
they do.
I agree.
They can do it way better than way there. We just proved it. See?
That's
right. And on
that
note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.